Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
Buying a house is weird. So selling a house, but really buying a house is weird. You kind of walk in there, you look around, you think, yeah, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here for 30 years. I'm going to make a 30-year commitment to this thing. When else do we do that in life? Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, we talk apologetics, theology, how to explain and defend our Catholic faith. But on Fridays, we just have fun. It's free-for-all Friday. We talk about whatever is interesting me and I think will be interesting to you. And as you know, I'm moving. I talked about that yesterday, signed the closing statements and the documents. We're under the rent buyback now this weekend. And then eventually we're going to be driving cross country, seeing friends, seeing family. And then the task of moving into our new home, which always takes like several years. I mean, we were only in this house for about 2 years. I feel like we found boxes from when we moved in 2 years ago that I meant to unpack. And now I'm like, oh, great. I saved myself a bunch of work because I never bothered unpacking these things. Then I start to think, oh, wait a minute. Maybe we shouldn't have bothered moving them in the first place if we never ended up unpacking them. So what I thought would be fun today for Free for All Friday is just to talk about my experience in being a home seller and a home buyer and mistakes to avoid, things to consider if you're in the process of moving or buying a home. And when you look at the real estate market out there, because of the pandemic, because of COVID-19, it's really changed a lot of things. I mean, here in San Diego, properties are going so quickly. People are moving to San Diego in droves because they want to get out of San Francisco. So all the big tech companies in San Francisco sent their people to work remote and said you could go wherever you want to. And so all these people realize, hey, wait a minute, why am I paying $3,000 to live in a 200 square foot room adjacent to somebody's apartment when I could go anywhere else in the country? And so these people are going to lots of different places. They're going to Las Vegas, they're going to Phoenix, they're going to Florida. But a lot of them who really enjoy California, like imagine they want California, they're in San Francisco. They're like, wow, I really love California, but I prefer if there was a lot less human waste and used drug needles on the sidewalk when I walked to my apartment. But I love the ocean, so what do I do? Well, they go south and think, oh, maybe Los Angeles. No, wait, human waste, tent cities, and drug use. Oh, look, San Diego. None of that has happened there. Let's all go to San Diego. And to me, as a San Diego native, I think, wait a minute. You all lived in San Francisco and Los Angeles and allowed it to be overrun with crime, human waste, drug problems, homelessness, homeless encampments that Venice Beach has completely filled up with homeless encampments, some of which catch on fire. Like every day, a different homeless encampment catches on fire. And you all tacitly allowed this by voting for the same politicians decades on end. And now you want to come to my city where I live? Do what you want. You can have my house because I am heading in the opposite direction over to the Lone Star State, over to Texas. So a lot of them, like in San Francisco, who love this kind of California culture, they're coming down to San Diego. So a lot of people are leaving California. Like, we're heading out, but what is confirmed in us that we're making the right decision? One, that tons of people who don't live in California have been saying to us for years, why do you live in California? Why don't you just get out of there? But also what's confirmed it for us recently, all of our friends have been moving. We know not just friends here and there that have moved, but entire families. We know a whole family, three different families all united together under one matriarch have just upped and moved to Idaho. We know an entire sect of homeschooling community, like a group of homeschooling families that's going to Arkansas. Like people, we think, you might think, oh, do you want to move away from California? Aren't you going to miss your friends? Well, no, because I look around and they're all leaving. They're going. So many other people we know who wanted to stick it out in California forever don't want to do it anymore. So they're leaving. So it's created a very hot seller's market here in San Diego. And it's always been kind of a hot market. It's always been a seller's market here in San Diego. And we experienced that 2 years ago when we went to buy a house. But then you go to other parts of the country that are becoming more appealing to people, like Texas or Florida or Tennessee. It's turning into a seller's market there as well, as opposed to a buyer's market where there may be an area with high inventory that people need to move. And so buyers have more leeway when it comes to getting really good deals. So here's what I'm going to do in today's episode. I'm going to talk about issues related to selling a home and then issues related to buying a home, tips and tricks that I have learned along the way. My first tip would be get a realtor. Now, I know realtors can have bad reputations. In fact, because of this, I haven't played a clip from The Simpsons in a while, so this deserves to be played. Do you remember the episode where Marge Simpson becomes a realtor and she goes and works at Red Blazer Realty? Because I've never actually seen this now. Maybe this is something back more in the 80s and the 90s that realtors at big companies would like wear a red blazer, or you got a special blazer when you sold enough houses. So here's the scene. She's working at the realty company, and Lionel Hutz, who also works there, who's wonderfully voiced by Phil Hartman, gives Marge some advice when it comes to selling homes.
Marge, I had a lot of calls about you. Customers love your no-pressure approach.
Well, like we say, the right house for the right person.
Listen, it's time I let you in on a little secret, Marge. The right house is the house that's for sale. The right person is anyone.
But all I did was tell the truth.
Of course you did, but there's the truth.
He shakes his head.
And the truth.
He's smiling.
Let me show you.
So then he opens up a book of different houses, and he shows Marge, here's how you tell not the truth, but the truth. So here's when they look through these pictures of houses.
It's awfully small.
I'd say it's awfully cozy.
That's dilapidated.
Rustic.
That house is on fire.
Motivated seller.
I love that. That house is on fire. Motivated seller. But you see that in descriptions of homes when I'm on Zillow and looking at houses. Oh, and by the way, do you have this temptation? I like to say that Zillow and Redfin are the chaste person's pornography. So say, do you have this itch like, oh, I'd really love to buy a home or maybe upgrade. I wonder what's out there. So you're a chaste person, but you kind of treat Zillow or Redfin almost like a pornographic website. It's like, oh, let me look at this selection. And then you go back and you're like, oh no, I looked at all of these houses. Now I got to look at the weird ones to get a fix to see what's out there. Sometimes people just pour over that. Do you ever do that? Sometimes if you're distracted at work, distracted at home, you know, leave a comment, by the way, at trendhornpodcast.com. If you sometimes daydream and waste some time, if you're not even thinking of buying a home, but you just like going on Zillow and Redfin to see what's out there, I'd love to hear about it. Leave a comment at trendhornpodcast.com if you're a premium subscriber, which, by the way, you also get access to bonus content. You can take part in polls and questions to help shape the future of the podcast. Always fun. Go and check that out at trendhornpodcast.com. Now, that being said, there are some realtors that are like Lionel Hutz. Not the truth, but the truth. But I've had experiences with really good realtors. And if you sift them out, if you get recommendations, if you go through the proper agencies to find them, honestly, even on the internet, I love having the internet out there because you can see who gets a lot of great ratings and who doesn't. But be careful. If you go on the internet to find a realtor, let's say you get the realtor that has 500 stars, 500 five-star reviews, and it's for this particular realtor, that person is probably super busy. So make sure if you do find that person, they don't just shove you off onto one of their assistants or a sub-realtor, and they just kind of sign the form at the end while somebody else does the work. So I would just recommend, you don't always have to do that when it comes to selling a home, but I think in general, especially to avoid legal catastrophe, you should get a realtor. Here's tip number two. Here's my biggest tip when it comes to selling a home. Don't be at the house when you're selling the home. Don't be at the house. I cannot believe it. Both in Phoenix and in California, especially in California. Oh, actually, this happened also in Dallas when I was looking to buy a home. The three times I went to buy a house, every single time, there would be houses where the homeowner was there while I would go in. I might be there with just the realtor or there with me, Laura, and the realtor to look at the house. And the homeowner is there. And it's super awkward when the owner is there. Don't do that, because here's the thing. I want to walk through the house and be honest with my realtor and say, here's what I like, here's what I don't like. But if the owner is there, it's really awkward for me to say, crown molding's chipped. It doesn't look like a lot of work was put into this home. This could be a real problem here, because they're going to hear that and they're going to take offense. And so I always feel on edge about it. Although, I will tell you this, though. The absolute weirdest owner being at the house experience I've had when it comes to buying a home was here in California. Because here in California, it's a seller's market. I mean, I even joked to Laura, let's just stay at home. Who cares? It's California. They're going to buy the house or they won't. We decided to leave for the weekend. We left for the weekend to sell our home. And we got dozens of showings in one weekend and multiple offers by Monday. It was done in one weekend. Versus when we sold our house in Phoenix, Arizona, it took like 6 months to sell that house. Oh, it was such a grueling experience. We never wanted to do it again. So it was such a refreshing experience here in San Diego that in one weekend, it was simply done. So some people have the mindset of they're going to buy it anyways. I don't feel like leaving. It's an inconvenience. I'm not going to. So the weirdest experiences were here in San Diego when we were buying a house. I'll share you one of them. We go to this house. We go up to the door. Our realtor knocks on the door and a lady comes out who is not the owner. She's a tenant who lives there. And our realtor said, didn't the owner say that we would be here? And she said, no, he didn't say anything like that. You want to come in or not? I'm like, yeah, I guess we'll come in. And so we're looking around the house and she's just in there folding her arms and looking at us. And I'm looking at different stuff and there's a bedroom I want to go in to examine. So I turn the knob on the bedroom and it's locked. And so I asked this woman, oh, I'm sorry, could we please go and look inside this bedroom? And she says, no, it's occupied. And so I was like, okay. And so then we left and I told our realtor, hard pass, I'm not buying this house. It sold a week later. I checked a week later and somebody bought that house. And somebody probably bought that house and didn't even get to look inside that one bedroom. They probably said, sure, I'll buy this house, I'll tear it down to the ground, and I'll build something completely new right in its place. So there's my advice to you. If you're selling a house, and other people have been there, they've been super nice people. They say, oh, it's got a new washer, it's got a new dishwasher, we just did the ceiling, and they're trying to be helpful. And it's like, I really appreciate that, but the realtor and the listing can tell me all that. Just please don't be here so I can honestly look at it. Because otherwise, if you're there, if it's pressure, and it feels like pushing people out. So that's my advice if you're selling a home. Don't be at the house. Also, if you have a penchant for enjoyable foods, if there's certain foods you enjoy that are kind of odorous, don't cook them because you really have a hankering for that food before you list the house and people are going to come in and see it. We had that experience in Phoenix. It didn't go terribly well. I mean, I might have a desire for certain kinds of tasty, smelly food. Other people don't like that. Just forget about it, okay? Here's the next one if you're selling a home. Hire a professional photographer. There are so many houses I passed over, and I should not have because they could have been a diamond in the rough. They could have been something, oh, this could have been really good if I had gone to check it out. But you have limited time. So, I mean, you're going to be spending thousands of dollars to get a home together. Even if you're not spending a lot of money, if you're selling a home, ideally, you're going to be making income from your sale. Ideally, you could be in a position where you're underwater if you've got a problem with the mortgage. But ideally, you're going to sell a home. You want to make some kind of profit. And I understand the pressure, not the pressure, but the temptation as a seller. You think, oh, man, I really want to get as much as I can out of this sale. But here's the thing. You don't want to be so cheap that you undermine your own ability to sell. There is the old adage. Sometimes you got to spend money to make money. Sometimes you got to spend a little bit of money to clean up the backyard. So for example, when we bought our house, the backyard was beautiful red wood chips, decomposed granite, all laid out by a landscaping company in absolute perfection, like this little perfectly put together backyard. And then our children got older and wanted to play more. I mean, that's great if you don't have kids, but if you have a bunch of red wood chip and decomposed granite, yeah, that'll last for about a week, and then it's just strewn everywhere. So we hired people to fix the backyard, to make it better, and we hired a professional photographer, because no matter how good your iPhone is, you don't have the wide-angle lens, you don't have Photoshop to make the pictures look brighter and look amazing, you don't have the knowledge to take it at the right time of day. You know what I'm a sucker for when it comes to real estate photographs? When they have pictures of the house. Well, I actually love night pictures. When it's like late dusk, so the sun has set for about 30 minutes and the lights are turned on, I am absolute suckers for those kinds of houses, those pictures on Zillow and Redfin. It's like, ooh, it's enchanting. But really, the best time for the pictures is dusk, dawn, High Noon is also good. There's no shadows. It's really bright. I think they took our pictures in the afternoon, and it looked really nice. It turned out really well because we hired someone who knew what they were doing. I have seen listings here. Once again, in San Diego, I've seen listings that were absolutely terrible. There was one house. It was listed for $400,000. And here in San Diego, it is impossible to find a home, a home, like a real house, under $500,000. It's an actual house. I think it was 800 square feet. It had fire damage. But what I remember was they just took all of these different pictures on a phone. You could see the flash of the camera and the reflection of the guy taking the picture in one of the bedroom mirrors. There was they took a picture in the kitchen, and there was a box of Lucky Charms tipped over and spilled out on the kitchen table. And that house ended up selling because it's San Diego. So unless you live in a preposterous seller's market, you have to abide by certain rules. So, you know, getting a realtor, not being at home pressuring people, no smelly food, no smelly odors, hiring a professional photographer. It's just a few hundred dollars, but it will help because if you might be in a position where you put the listing up and you don't get any showings. That could be because the price is too high, but it also could just be because your pictures are terrible and people don't want to go to the house. So consider that. But also pricing. Let's say you are getting a lot of showings. A lot of people are coming to look at your house, but you're not getting any offers. That's because your price is too high. You're asking for too much. Now, some people, they have nowhere to be. Some people like us, we sold a home and bought a home at the same time. So we're kind of in a bind. We really needed to sell. Some people, they're more lackadaisical about it. Like, oh, it'll sell if it sells. Let's just see what happens. And they try to get the highest price they can. But here's the problem. The longer your house is on the market, the more its value goes down in the eyes of others because they have this mindset of, oh, I wonder what's wrong with it. I sometimes make analogies when it comes to buying a home to dating and marrying someone to show how weird it is to buy a home. So it's kind of like, you know, it's harder to get married if you're an older single person instead of a younger single person because people, they ask a question, well, why didn't you ever get married? And they wonder, is there something off about you? Even if that's not true, even if it's unfair, they come in with those prejudices. And that's the same thing with a house. If your house is on the market for a long time, and I do this when I go on Zillow or Redfin and I look at houses, and I'm like, oh, this is a great house. And I see on market 273 days. Oh man, what's wrong with it? There's something inside the house that other people, it's like the dating analogy. It's like this person had never got married. Could it be the people who dated this person found the skeletons in the closet that I would find if I dated this individual? I don't want anywhere near that. And so I think the same thing happens with house buying. If a house is on the market for a long time, people get spooked and think there's got to be something wrong with it. And so then they pass on it, even if that's not a wise thing to do, or even if there's nothing wrong. So make sure your house is priced well. And that's where a realtor can come in because they can run comps for you. So comparative values to see what are homes selling for in your area. And by the way, not the comps for the homes that the listing price. Don't run comps on what other homes are listed at because other people could just be trying to run their prices abnormally high. Make sure your realtor runs the comps at the prices other comparable homes have sold. So if you're selling a 3-bed, 2-bath, 1,600 square foot home, find the other 3-bed, 2-bath, 1,500 to 1,700 square foot homes that sold in your neighborhood in the past 3 months. What did they, or at least in the past month, what have they sold at? Because that tells you what it's really, what is it worth? I mean, it's funny when you go look at houses. Laura and I will have these disagreements. We look at a house, you know, Laura will say, this house isn't worth that much. And I tell Laura, it is worth that much if someone's willing to buy it. Something is worth a particular price if there is a person out there who is willing to buy it. In any case, here's a few other tips for selling a home. Reconsider open houses. I'm not a fan of open houses. We did open houses for our home in Arizona. We didn't get any offers from that. Sometimes I feel like open houses benefit the realtor more than the seller. Now, maybe I'm sure there's real estate agents who might send me angry emails. And if you want to change my mind on that, go right ahead. Go to trendhorn.com, fill out the contact form. If you're a realtor, listen to this and you tell me, Trend, open houses are really good and here's why. And if you give me a good argument, I'll read it on the next Free For All Friday episode. But honestly, I don't know anyone who's gotten a bite from an open house, and I'm nosy. Have you ever gone to an open house in your neighborhood just because you're nosy and you want to look inside the person's house and see if there are free snacks? Because I've done that. I didn't do it for the snacks. I just wanted to see what the house looked like. Lots of people do that. Here's my thing. If somebody wants to buy that house, they'll call a realtor. They'll schedule a showing. They won't just be like, oh, wait till Saturday when it's an open house. You'll just schedule a showing. If you're interested in the house, you'll schedule a showing. I always tell there's young ladies who will ask for advice from myself and Laura. I love as a married couple, we hang out with other singles or unmarried people. They'll say, how do I find the right guy? There's no good Catholic guys. You think this guy's good for me? He hasn't asked me out. And Laura and I will tell this person, look, if he's not asking you out, he's just not that into you, to quote that famous book. He's just not that into you. If they don't schedule a showing at your home, they're just not that into your house. So I would reconsider open houses. But if there's a realtor who can change my mind about it, trenthorn.com, send me a message. I'll read it on a future episode. Also, staging your home. I find I'm more attracted to a house online when I look at the pictures if it has furniture in it. So sometimes you don't have a choice. It's empty. But I would say sometimes, like, we had a home in Phoenix that kind of had a weird layout to it. And that was really off-putting to people. So we spent a little bit of money to hire someone to stage it. She brought in the right furniture, the right accoutrements, decor, and it completely changed the nature of the layout of the house of having this furniture that we didn't have before. And it just made it flow just right. And people could see another side of the house they didn't see before. So if you're having trouble selling a home that has kind of a weird layout, or at the very least you want it to move better for pictures, I would recommend staging it with your own furniture or hiring. You can hire a professional person to stage your home and they'll put furniture in there and make it look just right. And finally, don't take the rejection personally. When we were selling our home in Phoenix, the hardest thing is we get feedback from realtors and they would write down, like, they would rank our home. They would rate it like, 1 to 5, inside, curb appeal. And I think one day it got a really low ranking and we were really bummed by that. And we're like, no, how could they say that about our house? And then when we sold our house and we were leaving, like, I look back and look at it, I'm like, this place is a dump. No wonder they said that. And it wasn't a dump, but it wasn't our home in Phoenix was not a flipped home. It was not a dump, a fixer-upper. But it also wasn't an immaculate flipped home. So it was like, oh, it's like right in the middle. Nobody wants a house right in the middle like that. So look, don't take it personally. Now, when it comes to tips to buying a home, buying is a lot more fun than selling. Buying is a lot more fun than selling. It's weird because, to continue the dating analogy, imagine if you were going to marry someone. And I think the analogy holds up because under our legal system, I feel like it's easier to get out of a marriage in this country than to get out of a mortgage. Like, if you have a home, you have a mortgage, you got to just basically sell the home to somebody or get foreclosed on. But I feel like they make it easier to get out of marriage than to get out of mortgages in this country, which is one of the reasons our country is not doing well. Marriage is the fundamental building block of society. They should be doing what they can to strengthen marriage. When they introduced no-fault divorce 50 years ago, 70 years ago, that's where things really started going downhill. But back to the analogy, you imagine if you were going to marry someone. You go out on one date with them, not even a date. You go to coffee with them, and you talk with them for 30 minutes. And you're like, yeah, how about we meet again and then decide if we want to get married? Because that's what it is when you buy a home. You go into somebody's house, you get 30 minutes to be there, and you walk around, and you're like, yeah, sure, I'll make a 30-year commitment to this. And I can't believe it, but we do it, and I do it. And so when you go to houses, well, first, what you should do is you should really set a realistic budget for yourself when it comes to mortgages. And especially if you're going from renting to buying, you got to remember, you don't have a landlord that's going to fix stuff. You don't have someone that's going to fix things. You're going to incur a lot more costs. You're going to incur property taxes. You're going to have homeowners insurance. So a big mistake people make is they think, oh man, I really want this really, really great house. And we had this in Texas, actually. There was a house we wanted, but it was like 10% above our comfortable price range, but it was a beautiful house. And I was thinking, oh wow, this would be so beautiful to get, but it also had a lot of extra things involved in it that would have caused more of an upkeep. It had a pool. Pools are great, but you got to spend like $100 or $200 a month on pool maintenance. And also, frankly, like in Texas, you only use a pool like 3 months out of the year. Maybe a lot of houses there have pools, but in a lot of part of the country, you don't use a pool very much. So for most of the year, we would just be paying for this hole in the ground that I would be covering, and also the constant fear my children are going to fall into it. So the house we ended up buying does not have a pool, but it has a community pool as part of an HOA. So it just worked out better for us, and it was much more comfortable within our price range. So you don't want to overbuy so that you're house poor, but you also don't want to underbuy and buy something that is the absolute pits, and it's not going to accrue value very well. So once again, finding a realtor can be helpful in that regard to avoid those hazards and those pitfalls. I'm just going to put a shout out there to my realtor in the DFW area. She was amazing. She was awesome. I am not being compensated for saying this. I just have to tell everybody. Her name is Sue, Sue Law, L-A-U-X. She was amazing. She helped us so much out there. She actually attends the church that we live nearby at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton's. And so we prayed together before we went out to look at houses. She was amazing. If you're going to the DFW area, find my friend Sue, S-U-E-L-A-U-X. You won't be disappointed. Now I feel like I'm Dave Ramsey on here. Talk to my friend Sue Law. Now let's get back to talking about the idiotic things you do with your finances, like being house poor. I have a guilty pleasure here. I like listening to Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey is sort of like the angry dad I never had. Like my dad is soft-spoken and just a wonderful guy. I love my dad. But Dave Ramsey is like your stereotypical dad. He's like the person who loves you, but he's not afraid to mince words when he says, you know, that's a dumb idea. What in the world were you thinking? I think I'm treading into Dr. Phil territory here, though, with my impersonation of Dave Ramsey. But where was I going with this? Oh, yeah, I like how Dave Ramsey recommends his friend. Sue is actually my friend. I would highly recommend her. Other advice when it comes to buying a home, make sure you do your due diligence. So in the inspection period, hire your own inspector or an inspector who works through your realtor. Make sure you get a qualified inspector. And don't be afraid even to send in additional people. Even if it's an inconvenience for the owner, look, they have to do that. We did that when we sold a home. If you need to send in an electrician, a plumber, a foundation expert, make sure you do your due diligence because you don't want to be stuck with a money pit like that old, that's a wonderful movie with Tom Hanks. Have you seen the movie with Tom Hanks, The Money Pit, where he buys that house and it completely falls apart and it's just an absolute mess? To avoid that, do your due diligence, get an inspector. And honestly, even before you go and look at a house, like before I would go and look at a house in Texas, I would scope it out and look at it through Google Maps to see what it's really like. Because there's photos, right? There's the photo of the house. It's so funny to compare the photo of the house on Redfin. And then when you look at the house on Google Earth, like from the street view, and it's always like the street view in Texas, it's like on a cloudy day. I'm like, oh, bye-bye California sunshine. Though I do hear Dallas gets a fair amount of sun every year. So I'm not going somewhere where there's no sun. But the street view shows it as it really is without the high saturated color to look beautiful. Also, I use the Google satellite view to look at the map of the area to see, are there things there that I wouldn't like so I don't waste my time? I'll give you two examples. There was a house, it was a beautiful house, big house, great price. And I looked at it to see, is that where I wanted to live? And it looks beautiful and the neighborhood looked great. Then I zoomed out on Google Earth and I saw it was right behind a gigantic warehouse. It butted up to a warehouse, and on the Google Earth image, there must have been 200 semi-trucks parked outside of this warehouse. And I could just imagine hearing the sounds of semis all the time. And even if they said, well, it's not noisy, I don't know if I want to live next to a warehouse where there are diesel fumes coming out of there all the time, and I live right behind it. So looking at maps, like look at yourself, okay, is this the right area? Are there hidden consequences here, things that I'm not noticing? So do your due diligence. Here's another thing I would do with maps when I looked at houses. Now, you might have different tastes and sensibilities than I do. Some people don't mind living on a busy street, for example. I love that my current house here in San Diego that we're selling is on a quiet street. And I bought a home in Dallas, in the Fort Worth area in Keller, that's on a quiet street. I love living on a quiet street. I love the idea that the only people who go down my street are the people who live there. I never understood people who live on really major streets where when you back out of your driveway, people are driving down the street at 45 miles an hour. I never understood that. So when I was looking at neighborhoods, I would look at houses and see, oh, that's a great house in a quiet neighborhood. But then I noticed that the street it was on, it's not on the major street, but it's on the quiet street that goes off the major street into all of the rest of the neighborhood. So look at a map. Look at a map of your neighborhood. You'll notice in a lot of neighborhoods, there's the busy street. There's a quiet street that goes into the neighborhood. It's like an art. It's like a big artery that goes into it. The big street is the artery. Then there's a smaller artery that goes into all the little capillaries, all the little neighborhood streets. But if you live even on a quiet street, but if it feeds into all of the other neighborhoods, if people always have to go down that quiet street to get in or out of the neighborhood, yeah, you're not going to get 45 mile an hour traffic, but you'll get people driving by your house constantly going in and out of your neighborhood. I call those choke points. So when you look at a house and you're thinking of buying it, make sure the pictures are fine, but I'd say, dude, Google Earth, Google Street View, and sometimes that will eliminate contenders, and it doesn't want to waste your time, because when you go out and look at houses, you only want to look at the ones that are the biggest contenders. Because the problem is when you start looking at houses, if you look at like 10 or 12 or 15 houses, they all start to blend together. So they blend together and it's really difficult to know, what did I like in this one? What did I like in that one? In fact, when you go into them, take pictures inside the house so you can kind of remember it as you really saw it. And also take notes when you're there, what you liked, what you didn't like. Though honestly, I feel like if you go to the house, you'll either know if you want it or you'll know if you don't. Follow that inner feeling of peace. And that's my thing. Does a house give you peace? If it gives you peace, that's a good sign in your discernment that it's right for your family. And when I bought our home in Texas, that's the feeling I had. I there were some houses I loved. I'm like, wow, this is a cool house. But the house I bought in Texas, it gave me peace. And that's how I knew. And I was praying, Lord, help me to find the right house for my family. And when I went into this house, I walked around and I had this overwhelming sense of peace. And I looked on the counter and there was a calendar, you know, one of those tearaway calendars where you have each day is a piece of paper and you tear it away. On the calendar for that day, it was a religious calendar with scripture verses. And on that particular day, on this religious calendar, it was Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. I kid you not, everyone. I almost started crying like a little baby. I've been praying. And in fact, I went out by myself to look at the houses because we didn't want to drag all our kids across the country. I would FaceTime Laura to show her the house, but she trusted my judgment. And I saw this house and thought, you know what? This home gives me peace. This is where God wants me to be. And there was the calendar. There was the verse. Lord, help me to find a house. And there I see on the calendar, God speaking back to me, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. And yes, I was on the verge of crying like a baby, and the realtor was there. I didn't want to start crying. The realtor's like, you okay here? But I was like, this is right. This is good. So, hey, I really enjoyed sharing the adventures of buying and selling a home. I hope it's helpful for you if you're considering moving. If you are considering moving and you found the advice helpful, I'd love to hear about it. Go to trendhornpodcast.com, become a premium subscriber, leave a comment, and let me know. Thank you all so much. We're moving this weekend. We're driving away. The pod's on its way. Say a prayer for us as we embark on our new adventure. And probably in a few weeks for Free For All Friday, we'll do a special Welcome to Texas episode. If they're there already, maybe I'll get my friends Jackie and Bobby Angel and everyone else who's moving to Texas to join in on that. Thank you guys so much, and I hope you have a very blessed weekend.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.